We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Okay, welcome back. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. It is time for our fourth and final quarter. We're going to finish strong, but before we talk about and tell you what's coming up in quarter number four, we're going to announce the winner from Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com, and that would be Nick in Berwick. Your question, 409tailgateclub.com. Gift basket is coming your way. Good question about Dwight Gault and new trainers and guys. All right. We continue. Yes. Bob Flounders' 25 most important players of 2020 in descending order. We've already done players 25 through 19. Mm-hmm. Would you like to recap or would you like me to, Bob? I will give you the option, sir.
In descending order, Jesse Luketa, Lance Dixon, a couple of linebackers, a young corner, Keaton Ellis, a young talented pass rusher, Adisa Isaac, Penn State's swing tackle on offense from last season, Des Holmes. Yet another young corner, a true freshman, Marquise Wilson, had a big play in the Cotton Bowl. And Ellis Brooks, maybe the heir apparent to Jan Johnson in the middle at linebacker.
Yeah, as I'm looking back and we're digesting, I'm thinking Des Holmes has the potential to be higher, but I understand where he is. All right, number 18. We're up to number 18. We'll see how far we get this week. It's another linebacker. They got a bunch of them at Penn State. It is true freshman. He will be a true sophomore next year, or in 2020, next season, excuse me. Linebacker Brandon Smith.
Yeah, one of the players I'm most excited to watch the next couple of years at Penn State. Got a chance to meet him when he was in Virginia. Penn State played him as a true freshman last year. I just remember when he was at Virginia, he was a pretty nice-sized kid, and we just talked about Dwight Gault and his strength and conditioning program. He put about 10 pounds on him of good weight in a hurry, 6'3", 6'4". He could have grown since we last saw him, 240. And I'll tell you, he's a fascinating player to me because I've talked to a lot of people about him. He physically, just if you look at his size, he stands out. He's a little bit of a bigger version body type-wise of Cam Brown. Just lanky but bigger, a better athlete, and you know, hearing the way Matt Millen talked about him last year in terms of instincts, the instincts and the athleticism combination, he's a bigger version of either Navarro Bowman potentially or Sean Lee in terms of all the things you need from the linebacker position. They both played outside linebacker. They were starters on the 09 team. Very good. They went on to play fabulously in the NFL for a long period of time, all pro players. I know he's real young, but I just remember whenever he got on the field, when he hit somebody, he knocked them backwards. They were some impactful hits. I think he's got to start this year. I know they got some veterans ahead of him. I'll be surprised if he doesn't, and I just think that you're going to see him develop very quickly with experience.
His high school video was phenomenal. Phenomenal. He is a very, very gifted player. You just don't see guys that big that move that well. I don't feel like I saw him enough last year.
I agree.
To really have a great eval of him. He had a couple splash plays, I remember.
Right.
But he just didn't get that much time. You know, Micah's true freshman year, Micah played enough that you had a pretty good idea what he was.
Led them in tackles.
But I'm not sure that Brandon Smith won't make a huge leap. I don't know if it's quite the Micah leap where he's All-American, but I think he'll be a very good player for them this year. I tend to agree. I would be surprised if he doesn't start.
So, yeah, I think that – do you feel – I wanted to ask you guys. The clock's ticking, right? It's a three-year window. As Ross just said, we had a limited look at him, even though, you know, you can't miss him when he steps on the field, A, because he wears 12, in my opinion, which is – and he's just huge. You just can't – you're like, oh, Brandon Smith's on the field. The combination and the size jump out to you on a TV screen.
It's kind of crazy, isn't it, that you just said three-year window.
Yeah.
It used to be you don't expect a guy – to play until their third year.
Right.
It was pretty rare. Like, first of all, back in the day, no true freshman played.
Yeah.
Redshirt freshman, you had to be a real dude. Most guys didn't start to play till their third year. Now it's like that's their last year.
Yeah, and I think the reason you didn't see more of them is because you're all in Penn State's defense is always in nickel. And
right.
So they had Cam Brown and Micah. I mean, Jan Johnson was the third linebacker against the run. So how do you – it's hard to put him in
right.
over those two. Now this year – If he's a starter and they're a nickel, I'm thinking it's going to be him and Micah. I don't know that it will be Ellis Brooks. Maybe it will, but I think you're going to see him if he plays. He's going to play a lot.
Yeah, I agree. I just think there's a little heat on Penn State because of the talent that the guy has, he has to play. Yeah, right? It's year two. He's got
to
play more.
I just think his talent's too good.
Exactly.
And I just think he's going to force the issue. I know they like Lance Dixon too. We talked about him, and they got to find a role for him, and I think they will. But man. If they're ever on the field at the same time, I don't know that we've ever seen speed like that from three linebackers at Penn State. I mean, I've been covering them since 02, and I don't think I've seen anything quite like that.
All right, number 17 on the list. We good on Brandon Smith. Number 17 on the list is cornerback Tariq Castro Fields.
Yeah, I mean, a year ago, if you would have told me what my 2020 list would be at this time, I would have had him a lot higher. I'm going to be honest. I just think that it was an uneven year. I won't call it a disappointing year, but I thought he was going to take a much bigger step than he did last year. He had some good games. He had some rough games.
He was picked on early.
Inconsistency was an issue for him.
Yeah.
And I think that as the year went on, you know, I think Penn State started to play their younger corners more and more, not necessarily at his expense, but I think he has another level to get to for sure in his last year. And I also think that's one of the reasons why he came back for his final season, because I think he realized that he still got a lot more left on his plate if he wants to get noticed in the NFL.
He certainly has the physical ability.
Correct.
And he's made plays where he's shown that. I would have thought, Bob, on this list, that he would have either been top five or not even on the list because he left for the NFL. It is surprising to see him at 17. I still might have him a little bit higher than this on the list than you do.
Yeah.
I'd probably have him ahead of some of these other offensive linemen, or maybe even Noah Cain and Owe. But I understand your logic. He was about as inconsistent of a player as they had last year.
I would agree.
Some of his tackling was heinous. But then every once in a while, he would make a really nice play. And it's one of those things where, because he was like a five-star or a high four-star, you see the good plays, you're like, see, there it is. If he was like a two-star or three-star, you'd see the bad plays and be like, see, there it is. it's about your perspective on it. And I wonder if he isn't a little overrated based on his recruiting prowess.
He could be. And the flip side of this, and I probably why he is where he is at the list – there's some young heat in his kitchen.
Well, that's what I was
going to
say.
That's the thing.
I think Penn State's at the point where they're
right.
Like, if these guys come around and they're out playing him,
and he plays inconsistent,
he's going to be part of the rotation.
Right.
That's it. I mean, and they're going to play a lot of three-corner sets. So those young guys, I mean, that's why they were on the field at the end of the game. I think he was dealing with something, but they didn't bat an eye having three freshman corners in the game against a team that had thrown for over 400 yards.
Right, right. All right, this is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. We are your source for Penn State football news and analysis 52 weeks a year. We never stop talking Penn State football. We are finishing strong in quarter number four. Ross Tucker, Bob Flounders, Andy Shea. We are counting down Bob Flounders' 25 most important players of 2020 in descending order. We are down or up, however you look at it, to number 16, which is running back Noah Cain.
Fascinating player for me. It's just amazing to me how a ripple in the pond affects the multiple players' careers. Down the stretch, Noah Cain put 100 yards against Purdue, 100 yards at Iowa.
Right.
100 yards at Iowa. Looks good doing it.
Four-minute guy.
They didn't use him a lot in Michigan, but they wanted to throw the ball. He starts the Michigan State game and gets hurt. And it's an injury that lingers. Journey Brown comes in, seizes the opportunity, has an unbelievable run through the last 3 to 4 games, makes some plays against Ohio State at Ohio State, has some big games, shreds Memphis, just, yeah. And just deservedly so, MVP, offensive MVP honors. But if Noah Kane doesn't have that high ankle sprain, like, where is he and how does his close to the season look like? I mean, I just think that this running back room is just so fascinating because the separation between the top three backs is so insignificant that I think you're going to see a lot of momentum swings on the depth chart this year, because if a kid gets hurt or doesn't practice well, he's going to fall down on the depth chart, and the guy that comes in is a really talented back.
I got a real problem with this one.
Okay.
This is the first one I have a real problem with. You don't even have Devin Ford on the list of being one of the 25 most important players.
I have it in parentheses, though. At least I noted it.
Yeah, don't parentheses my guy. Okay, don't be parentheses my guy. So, but here would be my argument. I'm not convinced Noah Kane this year is better than Devin Ford. He early enrolled. Devin Ford did not. I've already taken the L on Noah Kane. I was wrong. He's better than I thought he would be, okay? I was wrong. I take the L there. But I still think I still think I might get the win on Devin Ford. Yeah. I still think I might be right there.
I think you could be right. Like I said, the difference between the top three backs, and they all do some things a little bit different. I do think Noah Kane can really help this team.
But yeah, but then how do you have Journey Brown in the top 9, and then Noah Kane at 16, and Devin Ford is not even on the list? You've got like backup linemen and backup linebackers that I don't know how much they're going to play.
It's going to be hard for
And you've got Noah Kane at 16.
It's got to be
hard. And you don't even have Devin Ford in the top 25.
Someone's got to be the third running back at this time of the year. I designated Devin at the start, and it's hard for the third running back to get more than a handful of carries.
No, you're right. You're right. I do think, though, that Noah Kane early enrolling helped him quite a bit. But he also was very effective during the games.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to either perform poorly, or Ford's going to have to be off the charts for Ford to get more of those touches. I would have probably had Kane at like 19 and Ford at like 24, as opposed to having every backup linebacker and cornerback and D lineman you could find and my guy off the list.
Hard for me to put the third string running back on the top most important 25.
All right, gentlemen, that'll do it for the Keystone Kickoff Show. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Hope you enjoyed it, and have a good weekend.
Looking for a great gift for the blue and white fan in your life? Check out 409tailgateclub.com for some great ideas. You can get the tailgate box that includes all their rubs and sauces. Then there's the Bloody Mary gift box, complete with mix, bacon salt, and even pepperoni straws. Go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out their online store. Don't forget to use code KSN on checkout for a discount. That's 409tailgateclub.com and use code KSN.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.